You're listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, episode 488. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast that is designed for female entrepreneurs who want to make more money in a way that is in alignment for them. If you're looking for practical advice, proven strategies, and expert insights to help you navigate the challenges of growing your business, then you've come to the right place. Welcome, my friend. I am your host, Angela Henderson, a proud Canadian living in beautiful Australia, and I'm a business coach, consultant, and strategist who has helped thousands of women around the world build successful businesses. Through solo episodes and interviews with successful business owners, industry experts, and thought leaders, you'll get insider insights into what it takes to succeed in today's digital age. Whether you're struggling to scale your business, looking for ways to boost your productivity, or seeking ways to overcome the challenges of being an entrepreneur, this show has everything you need to succeed and more. So subscribe, pop your headphones on, and get ready to creating the business and life you deserve today by allowing the Angela Henderson Online Business Show help you create a winning strategy, develop the right mindset, and build lasting wealth. What if I told you that the biggest thing stopping you from leaving your job probably isn't money? It's actually, in fact, the story you're telling yourself about money. And today's guest proves exactly that. Because before she was generating $35,000 a month, she was trying to build a business after work, on weekends, in between exhaustion, and also in between self-doubt. But equally, she was wondering whether she was completely crazy for thinking this business thing could actually work. Now, before you hear $35,000 a month and think, well, good for her, Ange, don't stop. Because this isn't an episode about revenue. It's an episode about the courage that it took Claire to take. It's about backing yourself before you've got all the evidence. It's about making decisions before certainty actually even arrives. And if you've ever sat at your desk wondering, is this it? Then don't skip this conversation. Claire, welcome to the show.
Hey there, Claire. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ange. It's great to be here.
Gosh, I'm super excited to have you here. Megan, who is a mutual friend and an old client of mine, was just recording with me earlier today at time of recording. And I was just saying, it brings me so much joy when I look at my calendar and I see who I get to record with, especially if it's current clients or old clients, because I love the energy you guys bring. So I'm excited for you to be here today, where we're going to talk a little bit about you going from your day job to 35K months, the risk, the fear, and the leap that it took, because it's not an easy thing to do. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. It's made infinitely easier by having someone in your corner like yourself. But yeah, definitely there's a lot of factors play with self-doubt. And I don't know, there's so much that we go through as human beings and as women, where we can dive into that if you
want. Yes, we will. 100%. We'll dive into it shortly. But I want to take people back. Let's start at the beginning. So tell the listener out there a little bit about who you are, what your business is, and what did life look like before your business became your full-time reality?
Absolutely. So my name is Claire. I'm the founder of Syntax and Soul, and we're a copy studio based in Sydney, but working with businesses wherever they're based. We help businesses attract better leads, convert more of them through strategic copy right across their funnel. Personally, I'm a twice published author, which has absolutely nothing to do with my business. I've just always loved writing, and creative writing's a bit of a passion of mine. Take a look at Incendiary and Whispers in the Walls if you feel like reading something and giving one of my books a go. But I'm also a former journalist. And before the studio, I spent a lot of time working in conferences, in forums, plus through channel partner marketing, which is a very roundabout way into copywriting, but it turned out to be a really good training ground because I learned very quickly how to get someone's attention and make them care. And you learn it fast, because if you don't, you've lost the room. So we work with everyone from founder-led startups through to global brands, but we bring the same approach regardless of company size.
And I didn't know that about you. I love that, like you said, like you had to work, like it either had to work or you were going to get left behind. That's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. It was a very, like, both journalism and then conferences, they are both quite high pressure industries in different ways. In journalism, I went out with the van and you'd be in people's faces and trying to find a hook to a story. So that really taught me a lot of, I guess, grit. And then when it came to conferences, there was a much more sort of corporate and business oriented world where I learned to transfer those skills into the corporate environment. So yeah, I learned a lot in that time. It was definitely not what I was passionate about, which I obviously have come to realize. But you mentioned, I think, my life before. So my life before I found you, like after I'd started the business, is that what you wanted to
Yeah,
sort of
well, no,
touch
I just
on?
want to know a little bit more about like Claire, because all the listeners out there will often say is like, sometimes, Anne, you just jump right into the podcast and I don't really know who they are. So this has given us great context in regards to who Claire Dunamine was and what life looked like before business. And so that's the part that we haven't talked about. We know a little about you and your journalism, but tell us a little bit about like, what did life look like for your business before it went full time?
Before it went full time, if we wind back to COVID, and I feel like that was the catalyst for so much and for so many people, we're taught a lot of lessons. I feel like we were really sat on our asses and made to reflect on whether our lives were aligned with what we wanted. And yeah, I definitely felt like I lost a lot of my identity when I'd gone from working in the city in a nice office and suddenly I was sitting at home on the lounge, obviously working in conferences and the content marketing industry. We were one of the first industries impacted when COVID happened. So we were laid off before the, I can't remember what it's called now, the JobKeeper scheme, I think,
Yes, I think you're
took
right.
effect. So we were already sort of put on the bench. And yeah, I did find a couple of other jobs in the meantime. A friend helped me out with work before I found another full-time job with in through channel partner marketing. And I'm not even going to get into what that is. You can look it up if you want to be bored stupid. But as part of that, I found myself with a lot more time because it was remote work, obviously due to COVID, and all the time that I previously spent commuting to the city, about, I don't know, I used to get up at stupid o'clock and then get home at stupid o'clock. And so I had very little time to work on anything else that wasn't just my job. But I suddenly found myself with more time and I was on these Facebook groups and I started seeing these posts and this need for people who could articulate really complex messaging or messaging that wasn't resonating with audiences. And they needed someone who could come in and look at what they were trying to achieve and then help them realign with copy and messaging. And I was immediately like, I can do that. Absolutely. And so it quickly grew from there. I was honestly really surprised that what happened when I just put myself out there, when I started putting my hand up, and when I started introducing myself to people, that it snowballed really quickly. But I was trying to juggle this full-time employment with my growing side hustle. And for a long time, I was happy with it staying that way. I got married in 2023, and a lot of my focus was just on just the wedding and the honeymoon. Like that was what was taking up most of my attention. But when I got back from that, I realized that I was struggling. Like I was sort of on the verge of burnout because I was trying to give 100% to every area of my life. I still do that, but to two big jobs in particular. And I just realized that I couldn't keep going, but it was really hard for me to take the leap from a full-time job to going all in on myself because we're taught this idea of security. You have to have a full-time job. You have to have a recurrent paycheck if you want to have security. How are you going to buy a house? How are you going to afford everything that happens with life if you're just working for yourself? I think that we're taught that it's a terrifying thing not to have someone else employing you. But I guess I'd already learned the hard way that I'd already seen that being employed doesn't mean being secure. I'd already lost my job. That had already happened. I knew that I had to take the leap. I knew that I couldn't keep juggling it more than I already was. And I really believed in what I was building. I believed that I could make even more of an impact if I went all in on myself and that I'd have a much better quality of life because of it. I believed that I would be a better wife, a better daughter, a better niece, a better friend if I was truly aligned with what I was spending my days doing. And then I found you, and we can move into that if you like.
Well, that's good context because I think it's important for the listener out there that, first of all, I'm a strong advocate for keeping your day job while you build your business because building a business is already stressful as fuck and your nervous system is already rattled and you already feel subconsciously unsafe with doing this. You don't need any additional financial pressures, pressures from your partner, et cetera. So I was stayed in my full-time job for a very long time as I opened up one and not two businesses. And there was a sense of security, but eventually I had to jump ship. I was like, I can't keep building someone else's empire and allow my family to go broke because really a job stands for just over broke, as far as I'm concerned. You're getting enough money to make your ends meet, but there's never really enough left to do a lot of financial stuff. So then you met me, and I'd love for you to take the listeners back to the moment you kind of first found me. How did you hear about me? And what were some of the challenges you were facing in your business at that point where you're like, I'm going to need someone to help me work through this?
Yeah, so look, I've been aware of you for a while. I think it's pretty hard to be in the business space and not be aware of you. I had friends who had started working with you and saw big changes in their business. And I came to you at a point where I had a lot of things to do and absolutely no idea which things mattered, what I should be doing first, and this vague idea of what I wanted my life to look like without really much idea of how to get there. So massive to-do list, absolutely zero strategic filter on that list. And there was a very real cobbler's children situation that happens when you're a copywriter and you're running a business, though I'm sure that it happens with many types of businesses. And I knew I was really good at helping other people get clarity on their messaging and who they wanted to show up as, but I hadn't properly turned on any of that for myself. So I was the worst client that I never had. And I still remember when I had taken a couple of your smaller courses. I think one of them was Everyday Payday. I don't know if that's still like available, but that was sort of the first thing that I started with because it was a good taste test, I guess, about your style and whether or not I'd resonate with how you worked. And I definitely did. But you know what? I was still sat on the fence because it's a really scary thing to invest in yourself. And I was still, it was at the point of time where the, I can't remember how much it was, but it was a lot of, I considered it a lot of money to be investing in myself. There's a big question of whether or not it's going to pay off for you. And I know it was 20, I think it was 24. And I knew that I was on the edge of something bigger, still struggling full time, struggling to build momentum. But I was stuck, I think, around 5K a month, definitely not much over that. And it was a business that was entirely dependent on me. I was definitely not charging anywhere near my worth. Had no idea how to get out of this feast and famine cycle of, I don't know, of working as if I was desperate for it, which I definitely wasn't, mind you. there was plenty of work, but I acted like I was desperate for it. And then anyway, there was a friend of mine who was inside the mastermind, and I think it had a different name at the time. I can't remember what your mastermind used to be called, but she came off a hot seat and told me that basically everyone in the room was having their best ever months. And that was my kick up the butt. And that was when I pulled the plug and I was just like, you know what? Absolutely. I want to be in this room of women. I want to work with Angela Henderson because I might get there eventually, but I'm going to get there so much faster being in a room of people facing similar challenges who have similar goals for their life and working with the woman that's helped all of them get there. So like I said, it's a really scary thing to invest in yourself early in business. And it really does feel like you're gambling a lot of money on yourself and you sit with all the what ifs. What if nothing happens? What if I don't see the return? What if I'm not the only person that this works for? But something that I've come to understand is that you'll never really feel ready because ready isn't a feeling, it's a decision. And I decided I was ready. And that was the shift.
Dude, I love it. So here you are working in the job, making around 5K months. You make the leap. You're like, I'm in, I'm investing. You start working on the mastermind. And one of the main things that I started working with you on was starting to slowly drop the seed about when are we getting rid of the job? When are we getting rid of the job, Claire? Because I'd seen your revenue was starting to increase. The workload was starting to increase. You still were doing everything on your own at that stage. But then finally, you took the second leap. First leap was investing in me. And then the second leap was like, all right, I think, Ange, I'm out. And, you know, and leaving the security of a day job again can feel, I mean, I was absolutely terrified. Fears were coming up left, right, and center. But what ultimately helped you to finally take that second leap and trust in yourself and that the business was going to be a success, which has now gotten you to 35K months?
Yeah, I think the second ceiling, like after I started working with you, I think that the latter ceiling that I found was at about 18K a month. And that was still while I was working full time, because I don't know what number I was trying to reach before I decided I was going to quit. I think I kept moving the goalpost for myself.
You did keep moving it. Yes, you did.
And so it was at about 18K a month. I definitely didn't have more time to invest. And while my focus was so split, it definitely wasn't going to go past that. And every month on the hot seat, Ange, when are you quitting your job? When are you quitting your job? When are we going to start putting a notice in? And it was always later, later, later. And then the line was at Bali. You had a Bali retreat in, gosh, what year was it now? Maybe the end of
2024, end of 2024.
Yeah, end of 2024. I must have been wrong about when I started with you then. It must have even been, well, yeah, it was obviously before that, about a year before that. That must have been 23. But anyway, so we're at this Bali retreat. And honestly, I think that was one of the biggest shifts that happened for me. And if you get a chance to go to one of Angela's retreats, conferences, especially Bali, where you're just so immersed in the experience, I highly recommend that you take it because it really does change how, like, you remove yourself from the situation and it completely changes how you see it. And I was in a room full of women and I couldn't believe I was sharing a space with them because they were achieving things I considered so far in my future, if ever. So to be able to share space with them, I was genuinely so humbled and so grateful. And I had all of them being like, "What the hell are you doing? Why are you still working?" And I couldn't give any of them a proper answer. And so that was my, I left Bali being like, "Okay, I'm going to do something." And then that week, I decided that was it. I remember it was 30 minutes before I was meant to meet with my boss over Zoom virtually. And I went to talk to my husband and I said, "I'm going to quit my job." And he said, "Well, I'm not going to stop you from doing anything." And I'm really grateful that he said that because I know that a lot of other partners out there wouldn't have. But he knew me and he supports me. And he knew, like, he had faith. He had the same faith that I had. So I got on my Zoom call and I left my job. And that was, I remember posting in the chat from Bali and the celebration that everyone had because
Yes, we
they knew what
erupted. It erupted.
it was a big change and leap of faith for me. I was terrified. I still had a backup plan in the back of my mind that, okay, if this doesn't go as well as it could, I'll go find another job. I'll go do this, go do that. That's never happened because why would it? Like, why would I suddenly, after leaving my job, why would the business suddenly go badly? Like, there was no logic to that. It was just stories I was telling myself because the brain tells itself stories to keep itself safe.
Exactly right.
Yeah, that was it. I finished at the end of that year. I did give them some grace and just said, "I'm not going to a competitor because of what I'm doing. If you want me to hang around for another month or two, I'm happy to do that." But then, yeah, I finished at the end of 2024. So the start of last year was when I went all in on myself.
You sure, and you sure did. And that's the next thing that I want to just kind of lean into is, so again, you're in this day job, you're hitting 5K, you're still in the day job, you're hitting 18K. From 18K, you go to Bali, you're like, shit, all right, I need to pull the plug, tell your boss, see you later, Felicia. And then you go full in 2025. Was there a point in 2025 where you're like, actually, I'm okay. This shit's actually working. I'd love for you to walk us through what that season looked like. Like, what changed financially, or even mentally, or emotionally, or even maybe in your confidence as the business started to gain additional momentum once you had quit the job? Quick pause from today's episode. If you are serious about scaling your business, increasing your impact, and surrounding yourself with the right people, then I'd love to personally invite you to my annual 3-day Women in Business Conference at the Gold Coast. For 3 powerful days, you will learn from incredible speakers, connect with ambitious women from around Australia, and walk away with practical strategies, meaningful relationships, and opportunities that could change the trajectory of your business. Because sometimes your next breakthrough isn't another podcast episode or online course, but it's about getting yourself into the right room. And if you've been thinking about joining us, now is the time. Why? Because we only have 50 tickets remaining for this 3-day annual Women in Business Conference. And once they're gone, they're gone. To grab one of these last remaining 50 tickets, head to angelahenderson.com.au and grab yours today. Now, let's get back to the episode.
You know what? I think it was really slow. I didn't have a sudden mindset shift where I was like, yes, like I'm queen CEO now. I didn't have a day where that happened. It was just a month by month, okay, January. I can't remember what I did in January, but let's just say, okay, January, 18K. Okay, February, 20K. And then it sort of built. Every month I was terrified that it would go away. If I'm honest, I was always looking to the month ahead, and I was always worrying about things that weren't happening because I don't know, I'm a planner, I'm a preparer, I love how everything's structured, and so I'd lost my structure and I had to find that again. But it was gradual, and the confidence came slowly, I guess. It wasn't something I woke up and found one day. I think it's just something that comes from choosing yourself every day and knowing, I guess, believing that the future that you're working towards is there and that you're that much closer. Like every day you're that much closer, which sounds really wanky, but every day you choose the person that you want to be. And even when you don't feel like you're that person that day, you get up and you act like them anyway. So yeah, It was a very gradual thing. Sorry, did that answer your question?
You know, absolutely. So again, so like for you, it wasn't something that was just like, oh, this, it was over time, kind of like going to the gym and you're getting a six pack. Over time, the six pack eventually may appear, right? And
Absolutely.
that's the same thing as you just had to keep continuing to show up, act as if you're already successful, which I think is a really important shift than just thinking that you're going to be successful. And then again, your life starts to prove it a little bit more and a little bit more, and your brain starts to feel a little bit more safe. And then you continue to grow the business. Now, one of the things that we had to work on, though, was Claire not keeping doing everything herself. Walk us through what's had to happen in order for you to get to 35K months, because I don't think you would have gotten to 35K months without starting to delegate and slowly starting to build your team. So, what did that look like for you?
Yes, I feel like after I get over this change, there'll be another one that's really hard because it never stops. You never stop improving yourself. And yeah, the challenges change. But I don't know. I'm only child. I'm a Capricorn, INFJ, if you follow, if you know Myers-Briggs. And that's a very independent workhorse. And it's the kind of person that really believes that they can do anything, everything themselves. And yeah, my whole life, I've believed that I can muscle my way through anything. That definitely became more challenging the more clients that I got, the more work that there was. And I was delusional that I really thought that I could keep just muscling through this. And it's just busy this month. It'll be okay next month. But that's not what happens because you're growing a business. And why wouldn't you be busier next month again? So it was, I definitely had to learn. I had to come to terms with the idea of taking a step back a little bit and then bringing on the right people to support me. I know that a big saying of yours is who, not how. And I'd read 10x is better than 1x.
10x versus 2x.
Yeah, that's the one. So I knew the ideas. And yeah, I started slow. I started with a virtual assistant to help me with some outreach and some of the back end work that needed to happen. And I started working with, I found it really difficult to find copywriters that I trusted. I don't think that's a mindset thing for me. My words are my work. And so if someone doesn't hold the same quality that I hold, then it's a poor reflection of my product. So I take it really seriously who I choose to work with. I went through so many. I can remember one of the things that I tried was Indeed, and I've never posted another job on Indeed because most of the people, like I kid you not, they were not in English. Like I'm not even like they were in a language that I did not understand. So I'm like, wow, this is and yeah, I really yeah, it's not a given that anyone can do what I do, and that's not I'm not trying to talk myself up, but it's not necessarily a skill that's given. I painstakingly found a copywriter which turned into two who I trusted with the quality of their work, and I've continued to work with them. And then more recently, I've brought on an OBM as well, who has been able to help me with more operational things and systemizing things like onboarding clients and the workflow that happens thereafter. What can we automate? What can we take off my plate so that we're not spending so much time in the admin and that we can focus on the quality of the work that I've already told you is so important to me? It's a little team. It's less than five people, including myself, but they're people that I really trust. And honestly, I'm still working on myself in thinking that I don't have to jump in and save the day. And I need to get over it because it's almost narcissistic when you think about it to think that I have to hold the whole world together. I really don't. I'm not that important. I'm still learning to take a step back, but I've got the right team in place now, and that will continue to grow. I continue to let things go that I know don't need my oversight because, as I'm always preaching to other business owners, your focus is best spent on your area of expertise. So why would I be wasting time trying to figure out my bookkeeping? I've also got a great bookkeeper. If we count them in my team, maybe there were over five. I've got those people in those places because they're great at what they do, and I need to focus on the client and the quality of work that we're delivering.
And because of your team development, though, you also then were able to step away for 2 and a bit weeks, head to America, where you were in California and Nevada. And you were able to, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that I'm recalling this correctly when we were on the hot seat, is it was the first time you were able to step away from the business and just allow and trust the team to do what they need to do, and for you to be fully immersed with your husband while you went away. What was that like for you?
Surreal. I didn't think that would be possible for a while. I think it was Christmas lunch with the lovely ladies from Rubionics, and that's a plug for them because they are amazing marketers and website developers and brand specialists. So, plug for them. But I was having lunch with them, and I had said, look, I would love to be able to go somewhere and not have everything stop. But that seemed kind of insane because I was still spinning 18 plates and not really letting anyone else touch something. But I did, having built the little team that I just told you about, and the OBM was probably the last part of that because it needed the overseer to make sure that the pieces didn't fall apart. But yeah, I was able to sign off, and I expected, oh, I had my tablet. I didn't take my full laptop, but I had my tablet in case I needed to jump on and do stuff. And I expected it for the first couple of days. And then after that, I was like, I hope no one ever messages me again. I was so happy to have checked out and just have faith that things are happening as they were meant to happen. And I came back and nothing was on fire, which was equally shocking. You know, I've never come back from having had time off and not have a full inbox and people asking for a heap of stuff. So yeah, that was pretty crazy. And knowing that I can do that is so freeing. You know, it will build up how easily I can do that. But the fact that I've done that now for 2 weeks this year, that's huge because that's a quality of life piece. We can talk about the money piece as much as we want, but if we can't step away from the business, then what's the point? Because we don't have the freedom to live the lives that we're making the money for. So
100%. Absolutely. No, it was so awesome being able to see you just be in America. You're having fun. And then when you came back, and I was like, so how did it go? And you're just this look of relief, I would say, but also excitement because it was almost like you've unleashed the beast where you're like, okay, actually, there's so many more things that we can do as a family, and I don't have to be to my desk, you know? So it was such a great thing to be able to see you live it and breathe it. It's like you could have easily got on and probably done check-ins and done whatever. But like you said, you're like, okay, no one call me, no one talk to me. So it was, from a consulting point of view, always a great moment when I see the realizations happen for you guys.
yeah, no, definitely. It was a huge thing. So thank you.
Gosh, oh no,
Because
absolutely. That's what I'm
again,
here for.
because no, but like, yeah, again, but like before working with you, like that would have taken, that would have, God knows how long that would have taken. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like being able to, like the realization that now that I can be there for family, like that's another thing that's so huge for me. Like the ability to be there for family and for people when they need me, and knowing that I can now do that, that's, I don't know. Like, how do you put value on that? You can't.
You
So,
can't, absolutely. And life is short for 100%. Now, listen, you've had your biggest year in business to date, but beyond strategy and support, what do you believe you had to embody or step into personally in order to create these results? Because often, as you know, scaling isn't just tactical, it's identity too. What do you think you had to do?
look, I've got a couple of answers to the answers to this. One, like I obviously had to become, I had to figure out who I was. And I know that's a loose way to answer that question, but having worked in corporate for so long, and I'm sure that anyone else who works for, has full-time employment and is part of the more corporate machine, is that your identity is your work. And until you figure out, well, I don't know, a lot of people don't figure out who they are outside of that. And it can be terrifying to then be forced to present whoever you are to the world and ask them to give you money. It's really not something that we're prepared for ever in life. So, honestly, being comfortable with myself and realizing that I have value, I am a valuable person, I have valuable insights, to believe that I take up space, that's even something that, and to this day, I continue to work on it. When I'm at the gym, I consciously take up as small a space as I can so that I don't get in anyone else's way. And you'll see the guys there and they're throwing weights around and they don't care at all. That's still something that I'm working on. I deserve the space that I'm in. But I've learned that. I need to keep learning it. And I think that a lot of women need to keep learning it because it's not something that we're really taught, even from a young age, is to take up the space that we're in. But beyond that, the most boring answer is consistent. And you can't reach out to someone once and hope that it lands you $100,000. You have to show up every single day and claim your space. Let people know that you're here and then remind them every day, even on the really terrible days, even when the last thing that you feel like doing is being visible, even when the only reason that you're showing up is to spite everyone who ever doubted that you could do this. Especially then, actually, those are the most important days to show up and do it. So the other part of that question is consistency. Every like week, I'm not saying every day, take weekends off, absolutely, rest is important, but the consistency and going through the motions and doing the work, if you are consistent, you know, you are the sum of your habits, you are the sum of every choice that you've made, you are the sum of your actions. So if you're consistent and work towards the same goal, There's no way that you can't get there. So that's my second answer. Consistent.
No, I love it. Again, and there's no wrong or right answer. It depends, do you know what I mean, on individual circumstances, et cetera. So no, I love it. And I'm all about consistency. I mean, the podcast has almost been going for 8 years. And, you know, I have ADHD. So a lot of people will be like, oh, but aren't you bored? And it's something that I've been talking about more and more, is that actually scaling a business is boring. Sometimes it's just the repetitiveness of being consistent and doing the same thing and showing up that is needed, versus going and creating a million other projects and other different offers, new team members, et cetera. So consistency is key. Now, my next question, as we start to wrap up, is what has been your favorite part about working with me as your business consultant and coach?
I think it's the accountability piece, but it's also the fact that you give it so straight. I love that I will always get an honest answer. You never mince words, and that you're never going to tell me what I want to hear. You're going to tell me what I need to hear. And when you're in business, it can be hard to find people who will actually just tell you the truth, because everyone around you has their own stake in how you feel. Like everyone kind of wants something from you, which is not to give you some kind of complex, but everyone does have some, have something, like your clients, your relationships, you know, everyone has a certain stake in it, but there isn't that problem with you, and you're always going to call it exactly as you see it. And sometimes that might, you know, that there could be that initial sting of like, oh, why did she ask me that? Or why did she say that? And then you realize that that's exactly what you needed to hear. And that's an incredibly valuable thing that you can have in your corner in business. I often joke with people that, like, we lose our boss and then we hire a boss, because we need the accountability piece. I think that being in business can be an isolating experience if you don't have the right support system in place. And yeah, having a business coach is a huge part of that, because no, like, who else is going to call you on your shit? Who else is going to say, hey, you said that you were going to reach out to 100 new potential referral partners last month. Did that happen? And then having to answer that and possibly explain, oh, I didn't. And you realize, and then you might even point out, and was that self-inflicted, or was that, you know, outside of your control? And you sort of said, oh no, that was probably self-inflicted. And so it's a big part of growth and self-reflection. And yeah, just having, I think it's really important to have someone that you can trust outside of your immediate circle, because only they can really give you really truly unbiased advice and observations. And yeah, I just find that I gel really well with the way that you give feedback. I love that it's straight and to the point, and that I'm never left wondering how anything stands. You know, we don't need, God, imagine if a business coach was out there making life harder because you had to figure out what they wanted from you. But I've never had that with you.
No, absolutely. Well, thank you for that. Everyone has something different, and it always makes me smile, whatever it is, do you mean, that your takeaway is. So no, I receive that and I appreciate that for sure.
Definitely, definitely receive.
Yes. Now, for the listener out there who knows they're meant for more, but they're scared to take the leap, what would you say to them about taking the leap and investing with a business consultant and coach?
Well, look, the expression is sitting on the fence, right? And the fence is the most expensive place you can sit. Every month that you spend undecided is a month of momentum that you're not building, clients that you're not attracting, revenue that you're not making. And I think that the hesitation isn't usually about money, or not money alone anyway. It's more whether or not you believe it'll work for you specifically, whether you're the kind of person who deserves that investment. But you don't have to have everything sorted out before you start. That's literally the whole point of having support. And like I said before, you cannot wait to feel ready, because ready isn't coming. Ready isn't a feeling. You have to decide that you're ready. And then you become ready by doing the work.
So take the leap. Yes, gosh, great advice, my friend. And for the final question that I have that I want to ask you is, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out in business?
This isn't one succinct piece of advice, but being good at the work is only part of running a successful business, and it's not even the hardest part I came from journalism. I knew how to write, I knew how to meet a brief, and I still know how to do all those things. But what I didn't know was how much more was involved, and that running a business will make you come to terms with every single part of yourself. If you think you've got cobwebs, start a business, because it will surface every insecurity, every limiting belief, every scrap of self-doubt you've ever carried around with you, and it will make you come to terms with them. There's no hiding. This the business comes with a mirror, and you can't look away from it. It's terrifying, but it's also how you grow, both as a business owner and as a person. So I don't, maybe I don't wish I'd known that at the start, because I might have been even more scared to start the journey. But it's an amazing journey, because you never stop. It really is its own kind of therapy. So it's, I guess, being prepared. I wasn't just starting a business, you know. I was, and all of us starting businesses, we are doing so much more than that. It is such a process of transformation, and I don't know if it stops. And I don't know if I want it to either. So.
Yeah, well, listen, from someone who's been here for 15 years in business, it doesn't stop because we are humans, and every day new situations arrive, new clients come in our world, death happens, birth happens. We are always an evolving human being. And so, yeah, it continues to happen. And if you're willing to choose, to look into the mirror and to be able to work on some of those shadows that will come up for you, I can always promise you life is always better, 100%. But again, you've got to choose to be able to look in the mirror.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, it has been awesome having you on the podcast. And listen, I've used Claire for multiple times as a client of hers, because there are certain people who understand words and certain people who don't. ChatGPT might understand your words slightly for a prompt, but it does not know how to write articulately in a place that will also allow you as a person be proud of what is out on your website or out on your blog post, et cetera, but also to help you convert. So if you're wanting to work with a conversational copywriter that will help you increase your leads, increase your conversion through words, I strongly recommend that you meet Claire. I will put all of her links in our show notes as always, but she's a good human doing amazing things. So it's been an honor to work with you, Claire, and I look forward to continuing working with you.
Thank you so much, Ange. I'm so grateful to get to work with you.
All right. Have a beautiful day, my friend.
Thank you, you too.
Thanks for listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, www.angelahenderson.com.au.